What comes to mind when you hear the phrase Israeli food? Pomegranates, za'atar, grilled meats. Great stuff, right? But what if you hear the words Palestinian food? For a lot of people, their mind goes blank. And Yasmin Khan wants to fill in that picture with phenomenal dishes like spiced roasted eggplant balls with cheese. So she went to Israel and Palestine and talked to cooks. And she wrote a book, Zaytun, that's driven by joyful deliciousness, but built on the complex emotions of life in conflict and occupation. She's here with us to talk about what writing that was like. Yasmin, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So before you started writing cookbooks, you had a whole career as a lawyer, as a human rights campaigner. Why'd you switch to writing cookbooks?
Well, I think that one of the things that's always interested me throughout all my careers, mm-hmm. of which I've had many, is the power of storytelling and how storytelling can affect social change. And certainly when I was working on legal rights, you know, whether that was working with a family who'd, you know, lost a loved one because they'd been shot by the police, or if I'd been working with a human rights defender in the West Bank who'd been arrested without charge, the thread that brought both of those elements together was storytelling and telling people stories, because I really realized that as a campaigner, the way to bring about change is to connect people to their hearts, to cultivate empathy, because that's where you can start having a conversation.
Yeah.
And in 2012, I went and spent a long time, well, a few months in Iran, where my mom's family are from. I'd just gone through quite a debilitating burnout following this human rights career. And it was there that I immersed myself in my family's kitchen, collecting stories of the revolution, collecting stories of everyday life in Iran. And when I came back to the UK, I realized I was sitting on this treasure trove of stories that perhaps could shape an alternative view of how Iran is portrayed. And that's where the cookbook ideas came from.
Mm-hmm. You talked about being burnt out before working on human rights campaigns. And when we spoke earlier, you said, oh, where you really felt it was getting toxic for you was when you were working on Israel-Palestine issues. So how did it feel to then re-enter that place, even though you were doing it through food?
Oh, it felt many things. I think, you know, you have to be pretty privileged in your life to think that food isn't affected by politics. You know, for most people in the world, what they eat, how they grow their food, where their food is sold, it's inherently political, because our food system is tied up with our political system, our economic system. So I think, yeah, the bridge between food and politics has always seemed very natural for me. But it did feel unnatural going back to the West Bank. Reconnecting with these people that I'd worked with, you know, 6-7 years ago, and being like, hi, I'm here to write a cookbook. And it was, you know, there was so many reactions to that. I mean, you know.
Did you feel frivolous?
I think to some people it felt confusing. I think sometimes to me it felt frivolous. But then at the same time, I think to many of the people I'd worked with, it was just like, oh, that's quite clever. That's a bit of a stealthy way to talk about an issue that can be quite indigestible to a lot of people. I think this is definitely a book that really pushed and stretched me in terms of my writing, in terms of my research, because, you know, how you find the appropriate tone to talk about Palestinian food and Palestinian culture and the situation in Israel and Palestine as an outsider is a sensitive one.
Yeah. How did you earn the trust of the people you wrote about?
You know, I'm a big believer in just the power of sitting down over a cup of tea and coffee and just explaining what you're doing and why.
Yeah.
I think my work experience over the last 20 years, in a way, spoke for itself. I was really clear. I was like, okay, I'm from the West. I'm a woman of Muslim origin. I want to challenge stereotypes of how the Muslim world is perceived. I want to show the beauty and joy that exists in your community and celebrate it.
Yeah.
And so once you say that, actually everyone's really up for it. You know, the thing is, people in the Middle East, I mean, especially in Palestinian communities, but like throughout the Middle East, you know, people feel a lot of pain and frustration and anger about how they're routinely depicted in the West. I mean, certainly in the last 20 years, the Middle East is never away from the headlines, but always for negative reasons. So any opportunity that people have to be like, oh, great, you don't want to talk to us about Hamas. You want to talk to us, you know,
about hummus.
You know, it's just like, great, you want to talk to us about our family's winery, or you want to talk to us about this incredible microbrewery that we've just opened up using, you know, Palestinian like orange peel and cilantro seeds to make like an incredible IPA. What, fantastic. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about Palestinian hip hop. You know, it was refreshing, actually. Yeah. And certainly I worked with this wonderful photographer whose name was Raya Manar. She was a 26-year-old Palestinian woman from Haifa, pretty punk, you know, kind of red hair, kind of tattooed, and a wonderful young artist. And so actually we would be going around together talking about the issues, and we shared the same mission. So it was fun.
Yeah,
actually, a lot of it was fun. Yeah. I think that can get lost sometimes when I talk about the struggles. But it's an incredibly hospitable and warm place, and that isn't talked about.
Yeah. I mean, even you describing Raya, that's not an image that I associate. When you hear Palestine, you imagine what a Palestinian person looks like. You don't think of a red-haired punk tattooed artist, you know, like that's not the image that we get here in the States. And I was so moved by how often people in the book say to you something like, you know, I'm so glad that you are talking about how we can be happy. I'm so glad that you can talk about how we restore ourselves, you know, at the table.
Resilience definitely was a big theme for me in the book, and also when I was meeting people, you know, the resilience of the Palestinian spirit is simply extraordinary. Mm. And you saw it time and time again through producers who, and through farmers and through home cooks who were every day getting up and choosing to live and exist and cook and eat.
Yeah. But there's also a moment in the book that I thought was incredibly powerful. And it's sort of an open question that you leave. I want to get it right, so let me actually grab my copy. And there's a moment when you are, you know, conducting interviews and talking with people and cooking with folks, and you write that one woman said to you, "We are not clowns in a circus for you to come and watch and make research notes about and then make your name for writing down our suffering."
And still, 3 years on, you read it out loud and it just like, oh, it really, you know, it just felt like a ripple through my heart, actually. It was such a powerful thing and such an emotional thing and such a correct thing in so many ways for her to say.
Yeah.
You know, people in Palestinian communities have been so over-researched for 70 years. People keep going from the West, asking them to retell their stories, and like nothing changes on the ground. So that woman's anger and indignation was completely right. At the same time, I know as a journalist and as a writer that someone like me with a lot of privilege can actually impact and make a difference and change opinion by sharing these stories. And I think it's just about, for me, you know, I included that in the book because I wanted this issue to be something that other writers and journalists thought about.
Sure.
It's so easy in food media, especially in this Instagram world, to just travel around and be in a market, and isn't it so beautiful? And here I am drinking some pomegranate juice and not really be aware of what's going on around you. So I felt actually it was my responsibility as a writer researching documents not to take away what ordinary Palestinians are saying. Of course, overwhelming response of people was positive. But I think it's always good when you are an outsider writing about another person's culture to look at it sensitively.
Yeah, and to recognize exactly what you said. Like, you're actually asking them to do a form of work by telling you their story, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're asking them to share something with you.
Yeah.
And sometimes you deserve it and sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But now I have to say, you know, I also think it's really important to realize that there is and always will be and always should be a role for serious journalism and travel writing, and that's okay.
For sure.
It's And throughout human history, that's how other cultures have learned about what's going on around the world. It's by writing about them.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty unapologetic now about the fact that it's also okay to do it.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Yeah.
And you do it beautifully. And you mentioned Instagram. I have been following your book tour through the United States on Instagram for 5 weeks, 6 weeks.
A long time.
It's incredible. And I actually have to say, you know, I'm in this business. I work in publishing as well. It's really hard. What has that experience been like for you?
It's been incredible. I mean, I feel like a real honor, like that people have responded so well to this book. And, you know, writing is such a solitary affair. You're sitting there in my pajamas most of the time, tapping away at my screen. So to be able to go out and talk about what I saw, to engage with people, you know, it's interesting. I expected myself to come out of the tour feeling quite exhausted because, you know, I was visiting so many places and I had so many events. But honestly, I felt so invigorated and energized by what I see as kind of a change that is happening across the USA on this issue.
Mm.
It's felt exciting. Like, okay, yes, let's talk about Palestinian food. It's okay to do that. It's okay to honor Palestine. And it's so wonderful to feel that I'm contributing a small amount to that.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you so much for coming in. I think what is the last actual interview you'll do for your tour?
Thank you so much for having me.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's Yasmin Khan, the author of Zaytoun, Recipes from the Palestinian Kitchen. And she left us with a recipe for eggplant and feta kefta, little double-roasted eggplant and cheese balls, and you can find it at splendidtable.org.